Okay, we're picking up for the Gemara. We're on the Testament Aleph. We are three lines from the top. Just to give a little background from what the Gemara was picking off with. The Gemara asked yesterday, on yesterday's daf, we had the case of Nitlu in Belehem, that when, if the bells originally had these clappers on them and you remove the clappers, the Gemara said that their tuma would remain. To which the Gemara asked, L'may Chazu, that what are they fit for? That they're not fit for anything in the state. The fact that they're no longer able to be used anymore should remove it from its tumah status. That if a kli is broken, then it's no longer fit for the status any for the function that it had before, its original function, it's going to remove its status as tumah. And certainly if a bell, a clapper fell off, then for sure it should at least be mekana l'haba, able, and not be able to be susceptible to tumah anymore. So the Gemara originally quoted Abaye, who said the fact that it's very easy that even a regular person can put them back together, so therefore it's not going to be tummy. The Gemara had a whole long kasha, Shakla Vitaria, showing that Abaye was incorrect, and the Gemara came on to Rava's teretz. Rava gave a different teretz, and Rava said the fact that it's lahakish al gabe cheres, that we just see right here on the above of this at the top of the samad, because it's fit to still use to strike a pot that's made out of earthenware, that according to Rebbe, we said that if the bell has part of its function still able, since you could still produce noise, that is still keep it in its status of being susceptible to tumah. So now the Gemara is going to give a different tarot. So Rabbi Yochanan now is saying a different reason. He says, that the bell is can retain its status as tuma because it's fit to give a drink of water to a child in it. Meaning, if you turn it over, you could use it as a cup to drink with. So even though it can't produce sound anymore, the fact that the bell has a function that is allowed, that a person can use it for, it's going to retain its status. So we see over here that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the bell retains its tumah status as long as it's still useful, even if it is only for something else that's minor. Rava, though, we said before, holds that the fact that the bell could be used for a random thing like the cup, that's not going to make it retain its status because it's not similar to the original reason that you produced this item. It was for the noise. So that Rava had to say that it was more similar. Now the Gemara quotes a difficulty with Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan labai me'in malacha rishona, but Rabbi Yochanan seemed to say in a different context that you do require the original function, like similar more to Rava, what Rava said. Vatane, because the Braisa taught us, the Pasuk says, V'chol, really should say, Hakli, Asher Shev Alav, when reference to a Zav. We know that a Zav is someone who, really not just a Zav, though, really a Zav and a Zava need to let it. Usually the four categories go together. And there comes to a Tumah of Midras. What's a Tumah of Midras? Tumah of Midras is Tumah that is transmitted when a person who is Tame, he sits on, or leans on a bed, or of that nature, it would be considered tumas midras. And there's one of the chidushim over here that the utensil itself becomes an avatuma. Usually, if an avatuma touches something, it becomes a regional tuma. The chidush over here of the Torah is that when a person sits on these items, a bed, a chair, or any of these things, he would make it an avatuma, like he himself is an avatuma. So the pasuk says, "V'chol akli asher yeshev alav hazav." So it says that anything that the zav is going to sit on, then it's going to become tameh. So the Gemara says, Yachol kapa sav yashiv alav. So I would have said that should be anything that he's sitting on. So that would mean that even if he's turning over a barrel, and he sat upon it, kafet tarkav yashiv alav, or if he had a tarkava says is half of that, chatzi se a peirush trei vekav, that it's two, so that it's half of that. So the meaning he had half a seah and he sat upon that, yay tame, that I would have said that this person is going to become tame. Meaning it's the barrel will become tamei midrash. Talmud lomar, the pasuk says asher yeshev alav azav, that the zav is sitting upon it. Mi shemiyuchad liyeshiva, only the fact Rashi tells us that it says asher yeshev and it doesn't say asher shachav, and moshav it says asher yashav and doesn't say asher yishkav in the plural in the future. Meaning the fact that it says it in the past and not in the plural, so Rashi says, tells us that it means asher yishkav alav tamid. It means that you are constantly able to sit on it. So that means that anything that is generally, normally set out for sitting, that is going to become tameh. However, yatzeh, this is going to exclude anything, any type of container or barrel. She'omrim lo amar v'nas machtenu. For we say the person who's sitting on it, let us do our work with that container. Meaning, if it's used for another primary function, not the function of sitting on it. So then, if a person is sitting on it, that would not create a tumas midrash if the zav decide to sit on it. Rav Elashiv just points out a son of Zaharas to Shabbos over here on this daf. He says, if the, it doesn't, the lashon of yamod amar v'nas machtenu, that that the workers say, let us do our work. If the guy gave you a heter for the rest of your life to use that barrel to sit on, Rav Yosef says it still would be not become Tamei Midrash, because the ikar purpose of this barrel is to use it for a different purpose of measuring things or whatever it might be, for whatever these type of materials you're using. So whenever something is not used in its primary function and a person happens to be sitting on it, it doesn't matter that you have reshus to do it or not. It's a matter of that that's not its primary function and it would not become Tumas Midrash. So now, with this regards of when to apply the Omer Rav Sabachtena is Machlokas Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan. Gemara says that Rabbi Eleazar Omer, but Midras was Omer Arnas Sabachtena. Only with regards to Tumas Midras do we say that a person, this heter, that if it's not a primary function of using it for sitting, then it's not going to become Tumas Midras. So that's what Rashi says. Meaning that, and also Rashi just adds to that, that also a utensil can't contract the tumah, but there's another application that when it comes to this, when it comes to the tumah of midras, that for this purpose over here, that if the tumah utensil changes in a way that it can no longer be used for its original function, that would be enough to remove its tumah. That's the second thing Rashi says that we learn from here. So meaning, like Rashi gives an example, that if you have a mat that is 3 by 3 tfachim. If it's 3 by 3 tfachim and it was reserved for sitting, and then you cut it in half, so it's no longer able to be used for sitting, and let's say a zav sat on it while it was 3 by 3 tfachim, that's the minimum shear to become tumas midras, is fit for sitting, and then you cut it in half. So now it is going to be, it's going to be 3 by 3, let's say it's bos, so it's going to be tar because it no longer is fit for sitting anymore. The Gemara continues, but with respect to, let's say someone, if there's a dead body, person who comes in contact with a dead body, we don't say this halacha of literally, like, stand and let us do our work. Meaning that an item that became tameh through tumas meis, it doesn't lose its tumas status just because it's no longer usable for its original function, as long as it still has a valid function as a kli, as to make it some sort of valid function as a utensil, that would still keep it in its status for tumas meis. So the second application of this halacha that we're saying over here right now, it can't be applied to the items that have, comes to tumas meis. Rather, when it comes to that, they stay full force that it's going to be fully tummy. So now, okay. So the Gemara now says though, Rabbi Yochanan says that when it comes to tumas meis as well, we do say this halacha of stand and let us do our work, meaning. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Lazar, and he holds that even when it comes to tumas meis, it can be removed if utensils change in a way that it's no longer usable in its way that was normally the ikar function, that the primary way it was being used. If you remove that way, it would no longer become tameh anymore, according to Rabbi Yochanan. So we see that according to Rabbi Yochanan, when it comes to tumas meis, it can be removed if an item is changed in a way that it can no longer be used in its original function. But if that comes out then, but we saw Rabbi Yochanan before, Rabbi Yochanan said that the bell that had the clapper removed, it is still tummy because it could be used as a cup. But we see right now that shouldn't matter. If as long as its original function is longer applicable, it should still be tar according to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara points out that this is really a good point. The Gemara says, Ipuch Kamaiso, yeah, because of that, we have to reverse the first halacha that Rabbi Yochanan said. And he said that really it was, that you have to, the thing with the cups, that it has to be, it's fit for a cup and therefore it's going to be tummy. We're going to reverse that ruling, where he said that bell is going to retain its tumah status when its clapper is removed, because it can still produce the earthenware pot. That's the halacha that we're going to go with. Like what he said in the name of Rava, what we saw in the name of Rava is now going to be the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara, whenever the Gemara says ipuch one of them, the Gemara is going to ask, why didn't you fix the other way around? Why didn't we say my chazis de ipuch chamaisa? Why did we reverse the first ruling of Rabbi Yochanan with Rava? Why don't we say ipuch pasraisa? Why don't we just reverse what we just say right now with the case of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan in this braisa over here? Why don't we fix up the braisa and not fix up the first statement that we had with the name of Rava and Rabbi Yochanan? So the Gemara says, because Hashemina le Rabbi Yochanan Dabinan made Malacha Rishona. We've seen in a different context, Rabbi Yochanan does require that a utensil needs to have some sort of semblance of its original function in order for it to keep its tumah status. Desanya, because we learned in the Mishnah, Sandal Shabeima Shamatechas Tameh, when it comes to a metal shoe of an animal, which is it's a type of removable shoe that was, Rashi says, it was worn by an animal so that its feet wouldn't be damaged by the stones when it's walking. So it's going to become tameh. So the Gemara is saying, Lamai Chazi though, and the question was raised, for what use is this shoe. Meaning we saw before that an item for an animal can't become tuma. We don't say there's tachshis. There's no tuma of an ornament by an animal. And we also saw that something that's only for an animal's clothing, it's not that. And also an item that serves an animal is only going to be able to become tame if it also was serving a person's function as well, a person's purpose. So if we don't have that, then what was the purpose of these shoes? So it shouldn't be tame at all. It shouldn't become tame mace. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav. Rav says, "Roy lishtos b'mayim milchama." It's fit to drink water during war. If it's fit to drink water, we see that Rav would allow that if something has a secondary use, then it is going to be, that's going to be considered enough to say that it's going to be susceptible to tuma. That's what Rav holds. Rabbi Chanina Amar Roy lishmoch b'shem milchama. Rabbi Chanina said it's fit to anoint oil during the war. Rabbi Chanina holds similar to Rav, but just a technical nafkamina which the Gemara is going to discuss. But he holds a similar thing that even if it's not for its main function, as long as there's a function that you could use it for, it's still going to remain tame. Rabbi Yochanan Amar b'shash shebureach min hakrav. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, these are susceptible to tuma because if a person is running away from battle, he can manicha b'raglav raot al kotzim v'al abrakanim. That when he can put these on his feet and he's able to run over these thorns and these other type of things that are like thorns, these things that are rocks, whatever, thistles literally, that we see from the statement of Rabbi Yochanan that he says that the shoe is going to be susceptible to tuma only if it can be used in the manner that is somewhat similar to what its normal function is. So we see that when we see that Rabbi Yochanan ruled in a different context that the kli needs an item to be in a similar context to what it was used for. So therefore, we wanted to reverse the first case of Rabbi Yochanan, which would keep that shita in line with what he says. And therefore, we see Rabbi Yochanan holds that it needs to be in its similar function. That's why we reversed the first one. So the Gemara says, what's the nafkamina between these three answers? My ben Rav the Rabbi Chanina. So first off, what's the difference between Rav and Rabbi Chanina? So the Gemara answers, ikka benayah demais. There's a practical difference in a situation where, let's say the shoe is very dirty and disgusting. So according to Rav, it's not going to be susceptible to tuma anymore because the whole purpose was, according to Rav, that you're going to drink from it. You're not going to drink from a disgusting shoe over here. According to Rabbi Chanina, Rashi points out that even though the shoe is dirty, it still can be spread over the body. So therefore, it still has a function to be susceptible to tuma. Okay, and Rashi points out, according to Rabbi Yochanan, also that this would be susceptible to tuma because it's normal for a person to wear even a very dirty shoe if he's running away. So okay, fine. So we see over that. So that was Ikon and Ma'ez, and also bin Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. Between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, there's a difference. Ikon binayu. There's going to be a difference between them two in a situation of the yakir. So when it comes to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina, if the shoe is very heavy, so you can't use it to run away with, according to Rabbi Yochanan, so therefore it's not going to be susceptible to tuma. According to Rabbi Chanina, the shoe is susceptible to tuma because you could still use it for its function of rubbing the oil, so therefore it is still going to become tame. Now that we're continuing the Mishnah, the next part of the Mishnah says, "Velo bi'ir shel zav," and a woman is not allowed to go out with a city of gold litter. The Gemara says, "My bi'ir shel zav." What is this? What is it? What is the city of gold? The Gemara says, "Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim didhava." This Mishnah is referring to this. It's a golden jewelry that was engraved and it had like a Yerushalayim Shalzav in it. This is where the famous term Yerushalayim Shalzav came about. So Gemara, it comes up a few times in Shas. Gemara says, "Kedavid le Rabbi Akiva le Divisayim," like the type of jewelry that Rabbi Akiva made for his wife. We know that the Gemara Nedarim tells us that Rabbi Akiva married the daughter of Kalba Savua. So, and Kalba Savua was very upset. Rabbi Akiva was an Amar at the time they married. So Rabbi Akiva consoled his wife and he said that when he would become very rich, he was going to make her this beautiful Yerushalayim Shel Zav, which is very, very expensive. So we see that the Gemara never tells us as it happened. So the Rishonim point out from this Gemara, we see that evidently he did give it to her at one point. But the Rishonim says so explicitly. The Rishonim tells us that he kept his promise, and he tells that the wife of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, she complained to him. She said, "Why don't I have such an expensive jewelry like Rabbi Akiva gave to his wife?" And he said back to her, he said, "Did you do for me what the best lesson of Shalom Bayis?" But he said, comparing himself, but he said, "Do you do for me what Rabbi Akiva's wife did for him in terms of his learning 24 years that he went away?" So Rabbi Akiva's the Gemara says over there, so explicitly not the 24 years thing. He said that she sold the braids of her hair in order that he was able to learn Torah. See, her Mesiris Nefesh. Rabbi Akiva said to his tummy, and it was all because of her. So anyway, it's a nice story that again Rabbi Akiva made a beautiful Yerushalayim Shel Zav for his wife. The Gemara continues now. Tanur Rabbanan, lo tetzei isha bi'ir shel zav. With regards to this Ir Shazad, the city of gold, you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos. So Yimiyatza Chayavas Chatas. And we three machlokas tonight over here. That according to Rabbi Meir, if she went out wearing this, she's going to be chayav chatas because we're going to see it because it's going to be a masay according to Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim Yomrim Lo Teitzei. The Chachamim say that lechatchila she shouldn't go out with this jewelry on Shabbos. Im yatzah p'tura, but if she does go out with it, she is going to be exempt from chatas because they hold it's only asur derabanan. Rabbi Eliezer Omer yatzah isha b'yishasav lechatchila. Rabbi Eliezer says no, there's no gzera at all. So we have three shitas from a katzah lekatzah. One saying isur deraisa, one saying mutter lechatchila, one saying it's isur derabanan. So the Gemara says, what is the sort of machlokas of here? What are they really disagreeing about? The Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Savar Masay. Rabbi Meir holds that the city of gold that we're discussing over here is considered a burden for her to wear. Therefore, it's going to be Asher Midoraisa for her to wear it outside. Okay, the Gemara says, Rabbanan Savar Tashis. Rabbanan hold that it's regular, it's an ornament that a person's wearing, so therefore there's no Isser. So why did the Rabbanan say that it's Asher? Because Dil Mashalfa Mechavile. Because the rabbis are concerned a woman might remove it, and then she's going to show it to her friend, and Vaisala Suya, then she's going to come to carry it for Amazon Shus Rabbim, so we're afraid if she's going to take it off, then it would be Asher. According to Chachamim, we see from the Mishnah that the Mishnah had listed a few things that the other ornaments that are Asher because you might show them to your friends, like the nose rings, things like that. So that would be the extension of those things that the Mishnah listed, according to Rabbanan. And Rabbi Lezer says, he holds man darka lamefek b'ir shazav, who is going out with the city of gold. Isha Chashuva, a very Chashuv woman, a very distinguished woman. V'isha Chashuva lo mishalva mechave, a very important person, is not likely to remove her ornaments to show them to others. So since it's not a derech to start showing off and show them to other people, so since she would never do that, therefore there was no gzera because only for this Chashuv woman is there, therefore we don't make a gzera. Rabbi Lazar would agree to the other things that the Mishnah Tosfos point out. He would agree to the other things that everyone agrees with, like the nose rings and the things that they might show, because that's for the commoner. Here it was only something wear by Chashuv Mishnah, and since only Chashuv people, the category that we're talking about, wouldn't wear it, so then the only type people wouldn't wear it, so therefore there's no little plug. Everyone that for them it would be mutter lechatchila. So the Gemara continues now. Klila. So another we discussed aga. We mentioned one ornament, one tachshit, and we mentioned another one. When it comes to a tiara over here, this type of crown, is that allowed to be worn outside on Shabbos? The Gemara says Rav Aser Shmuel Shari. Rav says it's Aser and Shmuel says it's mutter. So the Gemara now qualifies this ruling. The Gemara says de aniska kuli amalo pligi de Aser. When it comes to a tiara that was made out of this, like it was hammered out of a metal, usually Rashi says like a gold or silver metal, then there's going to be no machlokas. Everyone's going to agree that it is going to be Aser. Okay, so they keep pligi. When do they argue? De ar kusa. They're arguing when it comes to a tiara that was made out of fabric that has gold pieces and precious stones in them. Mar savar aniska ikar. Rav holds that the gold pieces in the tiara are considered the ikar part of it. They're the primary part of the jewelry of the tachshit of the ornament over here. And therefore, since it's that, it's going to be choshuv item that a woman would want to show her friend. So therefore, it's going to be aser. Mar savar kusa aruksa ikar. But Shmuel holds that the fabric that it's made of is going to be is the ikar part of it. Therefore, it's not considered choshuv. And since it's not considered choshuv, it's not considered significant. Then you wouldn't show it to anyone, and therefore it could be worn on Shabbos. So it comes out over here, according to Shmuel, we see that since it's not fancy, it's not going to be something that she would show, and that's the really machlokas over here, whether it's fancy or not. So the Gemara says, Ravashi masne lekula. Ravashi says even more lenient interpretation of machlokas Rav Shmuel. What does Ravashi hold? Daruksa, dekuli amalo pligi deshari. When that in his opinion, there's going to be no machlokas when it comes to when it's made out of fabric. Everyone's going to agree that it is going to be mutter. According to Ravashi, it comes out that both Shmuel and Rav are going to hold that when it comes to the jewel that has the fabric inside is not considered fancy, and a woman wouldn't even bother removing it to show it to her friend. Kipligi da niska. They argue when it comes to the hammered out over here, that hammered out the metal, is it going to be us or not? Mar savar dilma shalfa mechavet. Rav holds that a woman would remove it and show it to her friend, because it's very chashuv, asala suya, and she's going to come to carry four amos in Rosh Hashanah. Mar savar, man darka lemepe beklila, isha chashuva. However, Shmuel says that who usually goes out wearing such a fancy tiara? It's a woman who's very chashuv, very important person, very important woman. V'isha chashuva lo shalva mechuvia. However, an important woman was not likely to remove this tiara, and therefore it's not going to be problematic for her to wear it in the Rosh Hashanah. The Achshonim are bothered by this. According to Shmuel, it seems to come out that Shmuel's following, she does Rabbi Eliezer, that usually when we have Rabbi Eliezer and Tanakam and Chachamim, halacha should really go like Chachamim. So it could be that Shmuel was passing like in Chachamim. Maybe we could say Shmuel is holding like Rabbi Eliezer. However, that's a little difficult. Some Rishonim say that he wants Tana. Even the Chachamim would agree that this case is okay because the only one when okay, you can look at the Rishonim for Terutzim. Okay, the Gemara continues down. Gemara quotes support for Ravashi's understanding of Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Shmuel bar Chana l'Rav Yosef befirush Amar la mishmei d'Rav klila shari." You explicitly told us Rav Yosef forgot his learning. Rashi many times in Shas will point it out. Gemara in Ksubas, a lot of different places, we see that Rav Yosef forgot his learning, and his talmidim used to remind him of what he said. So they reminded him over here that you told us befirush. You told us explicitly in Rav's name that wearing a tiara is permitted. So that would be like Ravashi's interpretation, because according to Ravashi, Rav permits wearing it in if it's made of fabric, that would Rav would hold that it's mutter. However, according to the first interpretation of Machlokes, Rav would say that it's usher to wear any tiara. We know that the halacha is like Rav b'Isurei, so lechora this would Rav Yosef would paskin like Rav. So the Gemara says Amar le'le Rav. So the Chachamim now said to Rav, Asa gav Rav aricha l'narda. A great person who's very tall came to Narda umatla, and he was limping. Vidarish klila shari, and he said that wearing a tiara outside is permitted on Shabbos. So Rav wants to know who is this. Rav says, Amar man gavra Rav aricha de'idla. Who is this great man who's very tall and is limping? I know it must be my good friend Levi. Levi, who was Levi? Levi, Rav was the beginning, right? Rav Tana Palak. Rav was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So he was a borderline Tana slash Amora. That's why Rav was able to argue on braces. So when it comes to Levi, he was also a similar category. Levi was also a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. He was a very big Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And he also edited braces and things like that. And he was a contemporary of Rav. He was also the teacher of Shmuel's father. Okay, he was a very chashuv, borderline Tana Mura. So the Gemara says, so Rav already was a sharp mind, figured out what happened over here. Shmamina naf nafshe de Rabbi Ephes. He learned that the fact that Levi came to Bavel, it must be the Rabbi Ephes, who was the head of the Beis Medrash in Eretz Yisrael, died. V'yasev Rabbi Chanina Bereshit, Rabbi Chanina, who Levi had been learning with, is now the head of the Beis Medrash. So what in the world are we talking about over here? So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Anaksuvah, the Torah's Anaksuvah over there. The Gemara quotes a story that when it came to the death of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he wanted to appoint Rabbi Chanina. He wanted to appoint Rabbi Chanina as the Rosh Yeshiva to head the Beis Midrash. And now what happened, Rabbi Chanina didn't want to take the position because Rabbi Ephes was 2 years older than him. And he thought Rabbi Ephes was it would be insulting for him to take the position of Rosh Yeshiva. So Rabbi Chanina didn't take the Rosh Yeshiva position, and Rabbi Ephes became the Rosh Yeshiva. Now, when Rabbi Ephes became the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Chanina thought it would be like a zilzal, because everyone knew that Rabbi wanted him to become the Rosh Yeshiva, so he stood outside the Beis Medrash. So since he stood outside, he didn't come in to learn, because everyone would give him more kavod than Rabbi Ephes, he didn't want to be kavod for him, for Rabbi Ephes, so therefore he stood outside the Beis Medrash to learn. All that time, Rabbi Levi would learn with Rabbi Chanina outside the Beis Medrash. So the Gemara says now that Rav understood that Rabbi Ephes must have died and Rabbi Chanina now became Rosh Yeshiva, and therefore Levi didn't feel a need to come, to stay there anymore, and he went to Bava. So the Gemara now is going to analyze how did Rav know this. And Levi didn't have anyone who he could sit and learn with, therefore Vakaslachi came here to Narda to find a Rebbe to someone learn with. Rashi points out that Levi was equal to Rabbi Chanina, that's why he learned with him, and he didn't feel that he was going to be a Talmud of his, so therefore, once he became Rosh Yeshiva, he no longer thought that he should be there. So the Gemara says though, but wait, why don't you assume Dilma Nach Nafshi to Rabbi Chanina? How did Rav understand that this happened? Maybe Rabbi Chanina died, Rabbi Ephes could have Kaikai, and Rabbi Ephes was still the Rosh Yeshiva, and Levi didn't feel the need to be kafuf to Rabbi Ephes anymore, because he was learning Rabbi Chanina outside, and now he wanted to come to Bavel. So Levi had no one to learn with, and therefore he came to Bava. Why do you assume that Rabbi Ephes died and Rabbi Chanina took over? So the Gemara says, "Imisa Rabbi Chanina shalche," because if it would be that Rabbi Chanina died, Levi Rabbi Ephes mikav havikai falei. Levi would have still put himself as batel, and he would have made himself still a talmid to Rabbi Ephes, because he was older than Levi, and he would have given him kavod and stayed there. So therefore, he would have stayed in Bavel, in Eretz Yisrael, in the Beis Midrash of Vesu. And further, he knew that Rabbi Chanina didn't die. Rabbi Chanina lo sagele de lo malach. It couldn't be that Rabbi Chanina wouldn't be the head of the Beis Midrash. Why not? When Rabbi died, that was his last will and testament. He said, Chanina berebi chama yasef berosh. I want Chanina Rami to be the head of the Beis Midrash. And it says, it says by tzadikim, righteous people, v'tigzer omer v'yakam lach. that it will be that they're going to make a plan and it's going to succeed. This is the concept of tzaddik gozer akadosh baruch hu mekayim, that when it comes to tzaddik who says something, gives a bracha that something should happen, when he says something special, it's going to be that bracha should be, Hashem is going to listen to it. So that's why it's a big idea to get brachas from tzaddikim. So we see that the Rabbi Chanina had to be the Rosh Yeshiva, because Rabbi gave a bracha that it should be the Rosh Yeshiva. So the Gemara says that it must have been, that's what happened. So now the Gemara says, what the reaction when everyone in all the towns heard this big gula from Levi, Dorash Levi ben Arda, Klila Shari, so he said that wearing this tiara on Shabbos is permitted. Nafik Esri Rabba Klila Mekula ben Arda. 24 tiaras emerged out of the Arda, they all started wearing them. Dorash Rabba Arvua ben Mechoza Klila Shari, Rabba Mechoza said that it's the same thing, that it's permitted in Mechoza. Venafku Timnei Shrei Klila ben Mechadim Mavo, even in one single Mavo, Mavo is a small little area of one town, that there was 18 that took out. We see that Mechoza actually points out that was wealthier than Naharda. Because of the Gemara not over here, the Gemara Bavasi says, okay, fine. So Bava Kama rather. So the Gemara says now, with regards to another Takshitz, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Shmuel, Kamra Sharia. Kamra is like a type of gilded belt. It's permitted for women to wear it into public domain on Shabbos. So Ikad Amre Darkusa. Some say that we were referring specifically to a belt that was made of this type of woven fabric and it was inlaid with gold. The Amar Rav Safra, Mididavi Atalis Muzheves. And Rav Safra said that it's permitted, just as it's permitted to, in the case of also like a gilded cloak, it's going to be permitted over here. The Ika de Amre, and some say that this belt is referring entirely to something, Dan Yischa, that's made of metal. The Amar Rav Safra, Mididavi Avnes So Malachim. And Rav Safra said, just as it's permitted to go out into public domain, or just Rabbim, with the belt of kings, so too, it's permitted to go out with this. Amar Le Ravina Ravashi, so now, says the Gemara now. Ravina said to Ravashi, Kamra Eloi Amin Amai. So when it comes to you have a belt that's a gilded belt that's on top of a regular belt, are you allowed to wear it in this manner or not on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Amar Le, Rav Ashi replied to him, Trey Hamina Kamart, you speak of two different belts, that's obviously going to be Usser. You're wearing one on top of the other, that's not like the Derech of Malbush, then it's certainly going to be Usser. So why it's like carrying it? So the Gemara says over here that so Amar Rav Ashi, a similar ruling, Hai Risuka, when it comes to this short cloak, shari, that if it has ties, then you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos because it's going to be really tight on you. We're not afraid it's going to fall off. The ilo asir, but if not, we're afraid it's going to fall off. It is going to be asir. So now the Gemara continues. So you're not allowed to katla. So Gemara says my katla. So we saw before that this is a menkas abhari, this type of a bib that they used to wear. They were very tightly around their neck, and it's literally like a bib, like they catch the crumbs that would fall off on them, like little children wear nowadays. That was and back then they used to make it fancy. Rosh says it was decorated with gold and very nice. So we see that it was a very nice thing. So the Gemara continues. Nizami, what? Not, she's not allowed to go with rings. What is that? Nizmehaf. This referring to specifically to nose rings, that's only to nose rings, meaning that earrings, Rashi points out, is going to be permitted for her to wear. Why? Because it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult to remove them and show them to others. So therefore, not afraid, she'll take them off. The Gemara continues. The lo b'tabash she'ena le'achos, according to the Mishnah, that she also not allowed to go with a ring that has no seal on it. So the Gemara is going to make a diuk that if it has no seal, it's only midarabanan on it. It implies that if it has a seal on it, if it has this chosam on it, then it's going to be asur midaraisa. Hayeshala chosam chayeves. That implies if she wore it with the seal, she's going to be chayev achadas disudaraisa. So the Gemara says, ama lav tashus, and we see that such a ring is not considered a tafsis, is not considered an ornament for a woman at all. Since a woman doesn't usually wear a ring with a seal on it, it's not considered an ornament, and therefore it's going to be an issur d'oraisa as a burden. It's going to be a burden for her to wear. The Gemara says in Ramina, though, contrasts this with the following halacha when it comes to tumah v'tahara, tachshit nashim t'mayim. When it comes to ornaments of women, they are going to be susceptible to veilo and tachshit nashim, and these are ornaments that women usually wear. Katlos, as we said before, these bibs, nizam, and earrings, vitabos, and rings, vitabas, and also vitabos and rings, and the Gemara says vitabos, the rings that we're talking about are bein sheish lechosem, bein sheish lechosem. They're going to be susceptible to tuma if it has the seal or it doesn't have the seal on it. Beniz me'af, and also nose rings. So the Mishnah says clearly that if the ring has a seal on it, it's still going to be considered a tachshit, considered an ornament for a woman. So the Gemara answers the Teretz. So the Gemara says Amar v'Amar Rabbi Zera. The Ritter says you should really read it as Amar Rabbi Zera, because usually Amar is a hemshich of the kasha. If we say Amar Rabbi Zera, lo kasha. It's not a kasha. Har Rabbi Chaimel, that this inference that you drew from the Mishnah, it's not, that fills the shita of Rabbi Nechemia HaRabbanan, while this Mishnah refers to the shita of Rabbanan. Okay, Mr. Shem, tomorrow I'll pick up exactly giving up the teretz of Rabbi Nechemia HaRabbanan, and Mr. Shem tomorrow.